We're starting a new series this week. I just want to say to all the men, last year we bought all the men a spanner or a screwdriver or something. So Scotty said he came looking for a drill bit this morning, but instead he got a bruiser bar or a drill. I want to say thank you to everyone that has given to the Kids Week up in Drimna. And those, you can still give into this. Those who have sponsor money, please see Linda, Anna, Claudia. There's a number of people be around that give you the sponsor cards. And you know, I'm just so thrilled about the opportunity and the door that's opened up in Drimna. Because we've read about this place so often in the newspapers. And our young men and young women are being slaughtered. And there's an opportunity for the church to go in and say no more. So where there is a kids week, and that is what we're doing, and that is the first door that's open, and that it's bigger than that. That we're saying enough is enough in our community, amen. And the only people that can stop it is the church. The only people, because we've been given authority to speak to things in heaven and tell them what is not allowed and what is allowed. And we're going in there to say, God is allowed into this place. And pray for it. Get involved in it. Seals if you want to get involved in it. And that whole door is open up to you. I want to also say a big welcome to Pastor John Lowry, who is here from Gateway. Sorry, John. But John, we'll just take a minute and just come up and say hello. John is pastoring a church in the city centre there, and some of his people is here with him. And I just want to say that you're very welcome to Liberty this morning. I want to say I honour you as a father to your boys and as a pastor in the city. So, John, give us a quick greeting.
Well, I want to thank each one of you here this morning for greeting us, and it's a pleasure to be here. I've known Noel over the last couple of years. We've come together. He's been a mentoring father to me over the last couple of months as part of a program that I've been on through IBI, the Irish Bible Institute. And we've come here this morning. I've been pastoring for the last 12 months, a little group of Brazilian people, and it has been growing. And it's a church plant in the Ripley Court Hotel in Talbot Street. And we're seeing God do great things. God just showed me a gap that I need to stand into to just support the situation that was there. And we're reaching out and seeing people's lives changed. And God is so good. I know he wants to use this little church group as a foundation to reach the Irish population in and around Dublin. I've got a heart for the young people and the youth. And our church, mainly the demographics of it, is from 25-year-olds to 35-year-olds. And there's a couple of 40-year-olds in it as well. So it's a great blessing to see what God has been doing in people's lives. And, I mean, it's wonderful to be here among you all. It's so good to, be where the presence of God is and to sense his love and his grace and his mercy every day. You know, and just the fact that it's Father's Day and it's such a wonderful day to celebrate. But we have Father's Day every day. Amen? We have the greatest Father that we've ever needed. He said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. You know? So, God bless you, and thanks so much for being here this morning. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. That's a good Carlo accent, isn't it, John? Amen. Carlo, man, starts off with a bunch of Brazilians. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. It's only in the kingdom of God can you see what we see and we are allowed to see in these days. I'll tell you, it's incredible the days that we're living in. And your perspective on the days that we're living in is vital. Our perspective of the days that we're living in is absolutely vital, because we have an answer to a world that is absolutely dying for the right answer. They're absolutely dying for the right answer. And Jesus said what the answer was. He said, he's the answer. It's not church. It's not pastors, it's not religion, it's not giving, it's not all the stuff that we're told. He said, I'm the answer, guys. And if you get him, you get everything. Believe me, and that's what we'll look at this morning. We started a new series this week that is in vain with where we've been over the last couple of weeks with the Lord. I just know this for Liberty. that we've moved onto a new ground, we've moved onto a different ground, and you know, there's a hunger, there's a stirring up for the reality of God in a new and a fresh way, within our hearts as leaders, in our prayer life, in our devotional life, in our church life, in our teaching and preaching, in our praying, in our worship. There's just something has shifted. There's been a shift in the heavenlies, and we're trying to keep up with where the Lord is leading, and we're really, really excited. And so this morning I want to talk about like the road to glory. You know, we're looking at the World Cup at the minute, and we're probably fed up to the teeth listening about it, and you come to church and go, oh my goodness, now they're talking about it. But there's some incredible things that happen around the World Cup, and prior to the World Cup, for instance, these men and coaches and teams and all of the people that are involved with a football team are actually been on a road for the last 2 years of training, playing against other teams, contesting for the points to get to the top of their table to actually come to the World Cup finals. You know, and we know as Irish and anyone else that is not there, their team is not there. You know, it's good, but it'd be better if the Irish were there, I have to say. Do you know what I mean? It's not the World Cup unless the Irish are there. And but like, you know, it has that razzmatazz, it has that. The men that set out on this road, they kept themselves fit, they kept themselves healthy, they played well for their team, they've shown a great loyalty to their nation. Some have played with injuries, some have played through great pains to get to the World Cup final for the purpose of the road to glory is this, that they get to lift up that trophy, that they become the champions of the world. They become, you know, someone who everyone else looks to and go, well, what a great team. They stuck together, they reached out together, they fought through together, defended together, attacked together, all of the things that they went through tactical situations to get the best of another team and all of the stuff that is involved in winning the World Cup. But that was their road to glory. And that's what they're looking for. On their journey, they've gone through so much to lift the prize, the World Cup. It's the creme de la creme, in football terms. It's like, that's what all footballers want to play for their country and then play in the World Cup and then to actually win it. You know, some people only get to the World Cup once in their lifetime. Some footballers. Some fans only get there once in a lifetime. But they're on a road to glory. Now, as Christians, what should be the journey we're on? Their aim is the World Cup. Their end result is we want to hold this big trophy. I was looking at, maybe it was UTV or BBC. I know it wasn't RTE because I thought it was. But if you look at when they break, maybe it's even Sky. It's one of the other ones that's shown anyway. That when they show the break for the ads, you see all these people, there's the World Cup there, and there's all these people just running up to touch the World Cup, to touch the glory, to touch the end result. So what should ours be? What should be a Christian's aim? What should we be aiming for? And what's the road of glory that we should be on? What is it all about? If you want to look in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, and I want to take us on a journey, I want to stir something up in us this morning that we will have a hunger for the glory of God. What is the glory of God? How do we attain the glory of God? Is it for special people? Is it for just a few? But Moses in this situation gives us insight into what our prize should be, into what our goal should be. And Moses was walking with God. He was talking with God. He was experiencing God. And God spoke to him in chapter 33. And it says this, Moses, in verse 12 it says, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me stuff. You've been telling me, lead these people. But you have not let me know who you will send with me. You said to me, Lord, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. But he says, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, Lord, this people is actually your people. The Lord replied to him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. that Moses says to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Because how will anyone know that you are pleased with us and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from any other people on the face of the earth? Incredible stuff. And the Lord says to Moses, I will do the very thing you ask because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. And before you disqualify yourself, I want to tell you that God is pleased with you. He's not angry with you. He's not against you. He is for you. So don't sit there disqualifying yourself for something that God qualified you for. So he says, I will do the very thing you ask of me because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Now here it is. Here it is. What should be the ultimate aim? Moses asked him for it. Moses asked him for, he says, Lord, you ask me what do I want, and here's the one thing. I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. What a request this was. This was not something that was just off the top of his head. It was a phenomenal thing to ask God, because when you look at the book of Genesis, every time any splash of the glory of God was seen in Genesis, when an angel came and appeared to men, the angel or the men would realize and they'd fall on their face and say, go away from me. I'm going to die if I see the glory of God. And yet here was Moses making the most incredible request. I want to actually see your glory. Where others would have run away from it. Others would have been afraid, because it says that no man can see the glory of God and live. And now here was Moses asking the ultimate. He says, Lord, you want to know what's on the end of my road to glory? It's you. It's your glory. The prince of preachers, an old preacher called Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he commented on Moses saying this to God. Listen to what he said. That Moses stands alone. He said, he's a giant among giants. A colossus even in those days of mighty men. He said his request to see God's glory surpasses any other man. He said, Lord, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Among the lofty peaks and summits of man's prayers that rise like mountains to the skies, this is the culminating point. This is the highest elevation that faith ever gained. It is the loftiest place to which the greatest ambition of faith could climb. He says, I'd imagine that when Moses asked God to see the glory, that the hairs on his body stood up, that his blood curled, that goosebumps came out, because he asked the ultimate question. Lord, he says, I want to see your glory. So our goal should be to see God's glory. The end of our glory road should be, Lord, I want to see your glory. What is the glory of God? Let me just jump back to Moses for a minute. God says, I grant your request. And he says this, when my glory passes by, I'm going to put you between two rocks. And he says, I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see the back of me. But my face you cannot see, because the same rule applied back then. You can't see my face. You'll die. He's so brilliant. He's so majestic. He's so awesome. He's so holy. But he says, I'm going to put you in a rock. I'm going to go past you. I'm going to lift my hand and you will see the back of me. So the Lord answered this prayer. The Lord says, I grant it to you. You will see the glory of God. Now, when you look through the Old Testament, if I asked you, which I did ask four or five people around our table during the day, what does the glory of God mean to you? When I say to you what the glory of God is, what is the glory of God? We could have about 7, 8, 10, 15 different answers. Because in the Old Testament, it gives us loads of different answers. For instance, it says that the heavens declares his glory. It says that the glory of God was seen in a pillar of fire. The glory of God was seen and felt when Solomon built his temple. It says the glory of God came into the temple and everyone jumped on the floor and couldn't move because the presence of God was so incredible. So there's loads of different expressions of what the presence or what the glory of God is. I found this one in Numbers. He says this, the Israelites in the desert were grumbling against God. And it says in Numbers 14:22, it says, those who have been grumbling against me, the men who saw my glory and my miraculous signs. And he does a distinction between, because if I said the glory of God, someone would say, oh, it's the miracles of God. And God puts a distinction between his glory and the miraculous signs in the desert. You're like, what's all that about? Solomon in his temple, the manifestation, the expression of the kingdom of God caused all the priests to not be able to move or to work in the temple. It says like the word that's used for it, the glory, it means, it's called kibbutz in the original language. And it says, it's like a heaviness. It's like the presence of God came into the temple like a heaviness. Doesn't that sound good? Like a heaviness. That like they just, I'm getting down out of here. I'm just going to relax. I'm not going to jump into anything here. I'm just going to get down out of here. It says that the heavens are the works of his the glory of his hands. Loads of different answers. In Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, what a book. I want to tell you guys, I read through Ezekiel this week, and I want to tell you that the book of Ezekiel is absolutely amazing. You talk about experiences with the presence of God and with the glory of God. This boy Ezekiel had it all. And those who know him, you know, like he's seeing things that, my goodness, I can't even still make out what he's seeing. But he talked about the glory of God. He said he was there. Like for instance, he was sitting down having dinner and the Lord came and took him up. And he brought him from Israel to Babylon where all the captives were. And he found himself now just sitting in Babylon watching all the captives. It's like incredible. And he said he was overwhelmed. And another time he was sitting down and the Spirit of God came and took him to another place. And the first place he said he was overwhelmed. The second place he didn't want to go, so he was bitter in spirit. He was sitting there bitter that God had taken him and transported him into another country to let him to prophesy over the country. Absolutely incredible. And he says he's seen all these wheels within wheels, and he's the one that's seen the river of God in chapter 37 and 47. He's the one that's seen the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel, man, he had it all going on. He was incredible what he's seeing. But he says that when he's seen all these things, he says the glory of God rose above them. And he says he had this expression. He said he's seen the glory of God, and the glory of God looked like a man. And you see all the expressions of God's glory in the Old Testament. But now the coming towards the New Testament, he's talking about the glory of God in the form of a man. Does it make sense? It's what looked like the Son of Man. He looked like sapphire. Incredible, incredible stuff. He sees God now. He sees the glory of God like person. So what is the glory of God? It's all of God. The glory of God is the fullness of God. It's miracles, signs, wonders, comfort, mercy, grace, creation, all of it, everything that you can say about God, justice, kindness. It's a word that sort of covers them all. And that when Moses says, Lord, will you show me your glory? This is what God done. He put him in the cleft of the rock. And God put him there. And listen to what it says. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name. The Lord proclaimed his name as he passed in front of Moses. And this is what the Lord says. So Moses asked to see his what? Glory. And this was the Lord's answer. He went by Moses and he said, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord means this, that he's the creator of everything. The Lord means there's no one that you can compare him with. He was and is and always will be. He was before everything and he'll be after everything. No one made God. No one created God. He was always there. He was always existing. He was self-existent. There was no one. You know, someone said, who created God? Nobody. Everything that is created came from him. Just look up at the telescope and look at the stars. Declare the glory of God. And the Lord says, I'm the Lord, I'm the Lord. And when he was saying to Moses, there's no one like me. That's what Moses would have heard him, because the word that was used in the original language. And he says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. I'm slow to anger I'm abounding in love and faithfulness. I maintain love to thousands and forgiven wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And yet he says, I don't let the guilty go unpunished. He says, I don't. And he says, I bring justice, because that's part of his glory. But everything that he said to Moses, he was revealing his personhood. He was revealing who he was. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in love. I'm rich in mercy. I forgive wickedness. I forgive rebellion. I forgive sin. And everything that God was saying, he wanted to see his glory. And God said, here's my glory. It's who I am. It's who I am. I'm going to show you that I'm compassionate and slow to anger. And what he showed Moses, that was only his back. Do you remember? He said, I'm just going to let you see me back. It's only a little piece of God, because he's always bigger and greater. And then in the New Testament, we see it coming towards all the way over the Old Testament, the glory of God being revealed, being manifest. And in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, see Ezekiel says, oh, it's like a man. And then in John, it says this in the Gospel of John. Let me tell you what it says first in Hebrews. It says that the Son of God is the radiance of God's glory. It says in Hebrews 1:3 that the Son of God is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He says that when you see Jesus, you see God. He said he is the radiance. Everything that is seen of God, the glory of God. He said he's the radiance of the glory of God. So listen to this. Here's a point, that when you get Jesus, you get the fullness of God. Because he says he's the exact representation of God. And God doesn't just say, here's a little bit of me. He says, you can have all of me. He says, you can have all that I am. Everything that you read about in the Bible. He says that he is the fullness of God who dwelled in him bodily. Everything that he is, he is. There was no distinction. It wasn't like a big God and a little God. It was God, God. And he says, this God is going to make a way to come and actually live in people. And that his glory will be revealed through us. And in John 17, Jesus prays this prayer. You can read it later. But he says this, amazing, amazing. He says, Father, you know, I want to go back to the glory that I had before the creation of this world. He was praying for the disciples at this time. He says, Father, you know the glory I had? You know that place where we were, where there was not a degree of separation? There wasn't even human form to separate us. There was oneness, Father, union, Father. That there was nothing between us, that we were just there together. He says, Father, I want to get back to that place, but I know I have to go to the cross. And he was saying, Father, you know the fullness of you that was in me. This is what Jesus said. The fullness, Father, the fullness of you that was in me, I have given that to them. He says, read it, I can read it out for you. John 17. He says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before the world began. And he says, and the glory that you've given me, I have given them, verse 22, that they may be one, even as we as one. And what he was saying to the Father, Father, you know what me and you have? I now give to them. You know all the glory that I know and that I have known in heaven and I've known before I came there? He says, now I give it to them. And not only did he say about the disciples, he moved on in 22 and he says, and for anybody who would believe in me, I give them that same glory. I give them that sense. The love that you have for me, Father, I have for them. The love that God had for the Son Jesus, that's what you and I have in Jesus. Put that in your condemnation pipe and smoke it. When condemnation wants to be there, you can say, Jesus prayed this prayer. Before Holy Father, for all the angels, before earth. He says, Father, what you've given to me, I now give to them. And he didn't just say, the glory of God is just not his fullness. It's the fullness of God offered to you and me. And I just think, and what I want to stir up in us, that if we're living below the line, let's seek the glory of God and say, God, I want to see your glory. I want to seek your face. The glory of God is not just the fullness of God, it's the fullness of God offered to you and to me and anyone else who believes and would call upon God. You know what? And this is the way it works out. Father, you know the way you never failed me? I'll never fail them. Father, you know the way I trusted in your faithfulness and I've seen signs and wonders and miracles and displayed the whole of heaven before earth? He says, that's what I put in them. Incredible. And the way the Father wouldn't break off with Jesus, Jesus won't break off with you and me. Even when we're faithless, he says, I'll still remain faithful to you. This has to give us confidence. And then Paul in Corinthians says about the glory of God. I love this. See, in the Old Testament, they seen the glory of God and they were like, I'm going to die. Moses says, I want her all. And Jesus says, I have her all, and now I give all. And then Paul says that when Moses came down the mountain, right, his face was so shiny that he had to put a veil on himself because the people were all hiding from the glory of God. So he put a curtain around his face. And then when he wanted to talk, he'd pull it away. And I had to wait till it faded because it faded away. And then Paul is talking to the Corinthian church and he says, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading. But their minds were dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Jesus is the veil taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers the hearts of the people in Israel. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Another translation says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, or there is liberty. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are designed to live in God's glory. We are designed to be carriers of God's glory. All that I've read there, and listen, 25 minutes doesn't do that in any justice. But when you read your Bible and you see any expression of God, that we are not like Moses that goes up and then it fades away. Because the King of glory lives in us. We have been restored to what Adam and Eve had in the garden, that they lived in the glory of God. And Paul says, no, don't look at when you turn to Jesus, the veil gets lifted. The veil from your heart, the veil from your mind, and you become transformed from one degree of glory to the next. That every day I walk with Jesus, my life is being changed from one degree of glory to the next. That God is about transformation. Don't come to church and settle for what you came in with. Oh, I had a little bit of baggage. No. God, I want to see your glory. Lord, I submit myself to being transformed. From one degree of glory to the next. You don't have to settle for what you've settled for in life. And I can't give it to you. And this church can't give it to you. But the Bible says he will change you. And we will carry some of that change into you. Because that's the way he works through his body. And he says, we are being transformed. So if you don't get it yet, I want to tell you. Coming to church is not enough. Coming to Bible study is not enough. It's like, if that's all you're getting from this, you're just getting a religious sort of thrill every week. But if you're not seeing your life being changed from one degree of glory to the next, the old attitudes being changed into the attitudes of Jesus, the old way of thinking being transformed, the old habits being confronted and challenged and changed. Well, then we're missing something. Does it disconnect? Does it this old horse ruling and reigning? Because the Bible says, listen to what it says, that we will, I'll read it again. Unveiled faces, because it's not my words. That we all reflect the Lord's glory. that we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So what does a mirror do? It reflects the image back, doesn't it? So as we seek God and we go before God and live before God, we are being transformed into his image. So that when this world looks at me and you, it's like they see a mirror image, not just of Noel, Kenny, or whoever you are, but they're supposed to see a reflection of Jesus in this world. That we are his reflection into this world. We carry his glory into this world. And I think that is absolutely incredibly wonderful. So when someone sees you or me, they should see Jesus in us. I used to think I was the most handsome man in Dublin. Now you might think you're a bit deluded, son. But I'm still convinced of it. Amen. I got one amen. Sheridan, I thought you'd have been the first on the ball there. My goodness, you're still annoyed with me now, Jack. I tell you this, I used to be freaked out. I still am freaked out. You wouldn't believe the amount of people that look into my face. I'm not joking. I go, do I own them something? Are they after me? Are they looking for something? Maybe I am handsome. Maybe I am pretty. Maybe I am the belle of the city. But I'm convinced that people can see the glory of God reflecting off this way. And you know what? And you know what? I'm equally convinced that they see a shining off you. I just know it because I used to be paranoid before I became a Christian. I used to thought when you were in the scrum at the rugby match, you were talking about me. What are they all on about? So I used to just get, but one day I realized, if the King of Glory is living in this temple can't help but reflect. And neither can you. Amen. And you know when people go, man, there's something different about you and they can't explain it? That's the reflection of the glory of God. You know when people say, when you come into the room, you light her up? That's the reflection of God. You know when you give somebody a cup of cold water? That is the reflection of God. You know when the stew crew go out and sit with men and have laugh with men that are homeless and that people walk by, and if they give them anything, it's because of a bit of charity and a bit of probably guilt. And these men and women go and sit with them, and it's kind of frail here. Go out with the stew crew just to watch Caroline Frail. And you see her reflecting Jesus. She rubs people's face like this. People that we probably wouldn't even go near. Do you know what them men, look, I was out there one night, they kiss her hand when they see her. They just kiss, and you know what, honestly, she just sits, she rubs her face. There's no one else in the universe other than that person. And that person, she's reflecting the character of God, the nature of God, the glory of God. And they see it, and they see it. And we're carriers. We were made for this stuff. We're being transformed. I'm finishing with this. This is what it means to be transformed. That word means to morph, to metamorphosize, to be something, and now to be something different. That we use it like to describe the change from a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's the word that is used, is to metamorphosize, to go from one thing that has an image and a character to something else that has a different character and has different attributes and has a different reflection of what it used to be. Like the caterpillar, it used to crawl through life. He used to crawl through bushes and he'd rub off absolutely everything would touch off him because he walked through it. Little sticks underneath him, little rocks. He was something that anything that flew, he could be a prey to. And then when he morphs and he's in that cocoon and the process of being changed from one degree of glory to the next, he breaks out of that cocoon. And he starts to soar where he used to crawl. He has a different look about him. He's a different reflection about him. He reflects something of beauty that the caterpillar can come nothing near. And I tell you, that is how big. Well, it has to be bigger. The change in your life and my life. when we give our lives to Him. It's bigger than that. That the angels used to look at you as a son of man, like someone that was born of another man or woman. And when that metamorphosis happened, the angels now look to you and go, that is a son of glory. That is a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Why? Because you're reflecting something different now. That's how incredibly beautiful we are to this world. Paul says it. This is what he says, that we are like shining stars in the midst of a dark and corrupt world. Shine. That's what he says. You and me are like shining stars. Now listen, be confident. Walk into the rooms. Walk into, I love the darker the better. Truth. I shine better in darkness. You will shine better in darkness. Don't be afraid of darkness. Light it up. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get involved with going into people's dark world. We are the light of the world. We go in there and then poof. Let's pray. Lord, your word says that we are being transformed. It's like it's not a past, it's not a past tense, it's a present tense that we are being transformed. And you might look at yourself this morning and start disqualifying yourself. I'm not like reflecting what he's saying. Listen, the truth is you are. That's the truth of the Bible. Because it's impossible for God to live in somebody and for him not to shine. Come on. The universe can't contain him. He shines out all over the place in the universe. And there's no way I'm going to submit myself or say over my life that I can block out God. Secondly, you are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. That it's a process. That you're being shined up day in, day out, minute in, minute out. That you stay before God, you stay seeking Him. The shinier you get. And Father, I pray for your people this morning, which I've prayed already, Lord, way before this 25 minutes. Reveal your glory in increasing measures. Lord, the fullness that we have, release more of the fullness. Release, Lord. Open our eyes, open our ears. Now, Father, one experience of your glory will sort out a million things. One splash of heaven into our lives, into our world, Lord God, into our personal world, Father, will sort a million answers. And Jesus, I take your prayer for what it is, that you have given us your fullness. You've already given us your fullness. And I commit us to the process of it being revealed from one degree of glory to the next, to the next, to the next. And if you're far off, I'm calling you to come near. And if you've disqualified yourself, I'm telling you not to live in that lie, because the cross qualified you to be a carrier of the glory of God. And I release you to go into this world and to reflect Him, His personhood, His brilliance, His radiance, His majesty, His love, His mercy, His compassion to this world. I release you in your job to be a reflection of who you belong to. And Lord, what's captured in all of that, Lord, if I said to you this morning, there's 3 minutes left, if I said to you this morning that you have a need, you have a need, I want to pray for you out of the glory of God. I just want to pray because everything is wrapped up in that word. It could be, look, read through the Bibles and see all the needs of the people. Some wanted direction, some wanted breakthroughs, some wanted healing, some wanted deliverances. You know, some wanted, like the Israelites, they wanted a new home. And the Bible says that if you have a need, that he will meet our needs out of his glorious riches that is in Christ. That is in Christ. So I'm going to pray over us. But if you have a need, I want to release the glory of God to meet your need. You can stand up. I'm not going to bring you to the front, but you can just stand up and say, you don't have to tell the need. You just, before you and God. Cheryl, you stand up with that. Amen. Amen. Okie doke. I'm glad the Lord is big and strong. You know, out of the bounty of a storehouse, he will meet the needs. Jesus put it into New Testament language, or Paul put it into New Testament language, and he says, out of your needs will be met out of his glorious needs that is in Christ. We just got a text just came in or something to tell us of a young boy, 18 years of age, who fell 3 floors from an apartment block last night. 24 hours to 48 hours is crucial. You know, amen. I got a phone call this week with the exact same things. Linda's son. The next 24 to 48 hours is crucial. And Linda's son is going to come home this week. Amen. Amen. They were talking whether the guy, whatever, or someone would ever come out of this. And here's another boy in this situation that belongs to another mother and another father. And all of your needs. So, Father, first, Lord, I want to pray for your needs. Lord, you know what's represented in this place. You know every need. You know every heart. You know every pain. You know every word of guidance that is needed, Lord. You know what's in our future. You know what's in our past. You know what's in our presence, Lord, our present, Lord God. You know what tomorrow is going to bring. Yesterday has brought, Lord. You know, Father, how we feel, Lord. How we think, Lord God. You know what's wrong with our bodies, Father, outside and inside, Lord. You know, Lord God, because you knitted us together, Lord. The members of our body is written in your book, Lord. In your book, Father God. And Father, just in the area of healing, I'm bringing my car this week to the people I bought it off. You know why? Because they know my car. And they know exactly what to do with what's wrong with it. And that's the way our God looks at you. And Lord, you know what's wrong with bodies, including this boy, Lord. You know, Father. You know what's wrong with his brain. You know what's wrong with his physicality, Lord. You know what people have going on inside them, Lord, and outside of them in their bodies, Father. And Father, I come and I bring your people before you, a great and awesome God. And Father God, everything is wrapped up in you, Lord God. Father, is all that we need, Lord. So, Lord, I release, Father God, that out of your glorious, I release the glorious riches of God upon you. Upon your body, upon your mind, upon your heart, upon your need, upon your circumstances. I release breakthroughs. I release healing. I release the mind of Jesus to be in your mind, the thoughts of God to be towards you. That what's going on in your family, I release the answer to your need. Lord, Moses said, show me your glory. And Lord, you answered the world by saying, I'll show you my glory. Here's my son, Jesus. Here's my son, Jesus. And if you have him, you have the fullness of God. And I want to tell you, if you haven't, just privately say, Jesus, I want you. Just let him show himself to you. He will show himself to you. You have a need. I want to tell you, Jesus will answer that need. So Lord, I release answers, breakthroughs, freedom. I release liberty. I release, Father, where your word says that, Lord God, wherever there's the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. I release that freedom into this place. I release wholeness. I release the shalom of God, the realness, the fullness, the completeness, the prosperity, the deep-seated peace that can come only from God. Lord, I release that into this church. And I tell you one thing, church, what we've been doing the last couple of weeks, you need to be given feedback if God is doing something. Because that releases the more. That releases the more. So don't make it up. Don't think in any way you have to say something to make me feel good or look good. That doesn't work that way. Whatever God is doing, that we just give him thanks. And Father, we want to bring this, like for instance, we have to thank God for Linda's son. There's the whole church in the city has been praying for this kid. No wonder he came out. Some man sent me a text the other day and he says, no, when I got news of Linda's son going in, he said, I had a picture, and he doesn't get pictures. And he said there was two rows of angels going in while the trolley was being wheeled in. That's God. And that's a testimony. And if God does it for Linda's kid, he'll do it for your kid or someone belonging to you. Amen. And Father, we release that into our world, the testimonies of God's goodness, of God's grace towards us. And Father, as a church, we bring this boy before you. And we release the glory of God into that situation. That, Lord, you are compassionate. That you are miraculous. That you are a father. That you are a father who knows how to lift the son. And Lord, we just reach out to this boy and we lift him, Lord God. We lift him out of coma, semi-coma, Lord God. We lift him out of any bleeds. We lift him out of any brain damage, Lord. We lift him out of any physical breakage, Lord God. We release him from it, Lord God. We release the miracle of God that you're not bound by time or space, Father God. And we release the hand of God, Lord, to be upon this boy, Lord God. And we pray, Father, and we vow, we give you all the glory, Lord God. Father, we give you all the praise and thanks, Father God. Now, Lord, I pray for your people as we go about this day. And this week, I release you to reflect God's image to this world. And I say over you, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Grant you shalom in the name of Jesus. And we all say amen and amen. Amen. Guys, thank you.